If I had three volunteers, I don't care who, just three guys preferably, if you'd come up here tonight. Okay, just for the sake of the way you're lined up, we're going to do it this way. Aaron is a member of my church. Mark was a member of my church. Adam was unsaved. Okay? One day, Aaron came up and was witnessing to Adam. In his zeal to try to get Adam to get saved, to give his heart to Christ, he said, "If you don't get right with God, you're going to hell." And then he went back. Adam was offended, and he came and he told Mark what had happened. And Mark picked up Adam's offense. And Mark came back to my church, and I had people taking sides. Oh, it was terrible that Aaron would say to anybody that they would go to hell. Mark was offended by that, and people, sometimes, some of them took Mark's view, some of them took Aaron's view, and said, "Well, you got to tell him the truth." And so here I am. I've got almost a split here in my church over this. And the strange thing is that one day, Aaron and Adam got together and they talked about things and they made things right. God gave them the grace. They were reconciled. But here is Mark, who still carried the offense. See, he wasn't part of the solution. And God gives grace to these people to handle the problem. He didn't give grace here to handle the problem because he wasn't part of the problem to begin with. So what happens? These two are made up, but there's still a church that split over the issue. And still somebody being offended. Thanks, guys. You did a great job. Please, don't take up the offense for somebody else. I know it's hard to do sometimes. It's very difficult to do. And you might love them and you may defend them, but again, there's a fine line between doing that and taking up their offense. Don't pick up the offense of someone else. And then, point B, you will offend others. You will offend others. You will be offended. You will offend others. James 3:2 says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." You will offend people. Jesus offended people. Mark 11:6 and Luke 7:23. "And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me," Jesus said. Blessed are those who will not be offended at me. But he's saying there are some that will be offended. But those who don't get offended, bless them. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" Even Jesus' disciples were offended sometimes at the things that he taught them and the things that he said. And how many have heard that Jesus was a rock of offense? He was a rock of offense, a stumbling block to some. Jesus offended people. Number two, people will be offended at the truth. If you just speak the truth, people will be offended. It's possible to get offended and stumble over either wrong or right or neither one. Most of the statements in the Bible have to do with people being offended because of something right. Somebody said something right, and they were offended. I mean, all you have to do today is say that unborn babies have a right to live, and somebody will get mad at you. Somebody will be offended at that. All you have to do is preach or witness to the truth, and you will offend some people. That's the way it is. And then there's some people who get offended because they are looking for something to get offended about. Did you ever notice how little it takes to offend some people? We're going to let this be a chip on my shoulder. I'm walking around with a chip on my shoulder. How much is it going to take to offend me? Not very much. I'm looking for something to be offended at. I got this chip on my shoulder. And I'm walking along, and here, George, come up, knock this chip off my shoulder. You know what? This chip knocked off my shoulder becomes a stumbling block in my way. Something that might trip me up. And so don't walk around with a chip on your shoulder. Let me edit that out of the tape. Don't walk around with a chip. But you see how that could be a stumbling block to you? This gets shut off. All right. Some people, it's easy for them to be offended. Somebody said a man had to quit going to football games because he was sure every time they got in a huddle, they were talking about him. One lady said to her husband, "Did you see so-and-so's hat? How about so-and-so's purse? Well, did you see so-and-so's dress? Well, a lot of good it did for you to go to church." If you're somebody that's going to be offended, you will get offended over right, wrong, big, or small. But the verse, the psalm says, nothing shall offend them. Nothing big, nothing little. Nothing right, nothing wrong, nothing. One church I heard about scheduled a swimming party. There was no mixed swimming even, and no immodesty. But the pastor had to call off the swimming party. As a result, two families left the church. The pastor later said, "I couldn't tell them that the man who hosted the swimming party was a practicing homosexual." See, sometimes people do things and we don't know the reason why they're doing them. Let's not be quick to judge. Let's not be quick to be offended at that. They might have a reason that we don't know anything about. And, you know, let's give each other the benefit of the doubt when it comes to that. And then number three, we should try not to offend others. We should try not to offend others. Even though we will offend, we just don't say, "Oh, well, I'm going to be offensive anyway, so I might as well just go ahead and do it." No, we should try not to offend others. Matthew 17:27. "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Take that and give it unto them for me and thee." Jesus was talking to Peter here about paying their taxes. He said, we don't want to offend them. We don't want to offend the government. So you go fishing. And when you catch a fish, you're going to find the first one you catch. You open his mouth, you'll find our money there to pay our taxes. Go and do it. If you try your best not to offend people, even if it costs you, I believe that God supernaturally will provide because of your spirituality. Give in. Apologize. The other one doesn't want to. You be the one. You be the spiritual one. You swallow your pride. You give in. You apologize. Paul said in Acts 24:16, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward me, toward men." He said, I have a conscience that is not full of any offenses toward God or toward any person. Don't ever deliberately cause somebody to stumble and fall. 2 Corinthians 6:3, Paul says, "Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." Because what happens when we offend people is they blame the ministry. They blame God. And so we should do our best not to offend. Not only should we not try to offend others, but we should try to diffuse those who are offended or are potentially going to be offended. Like Abigail, be people of understanding. We have to come up to say somebody in love and say, "You know what? I really am concerned for you because there's a stumbling block that's been put in your way. There's a trap. And I'm afraid that if you are offended, you are going to fall into this trap. You are going to stumble over this thing. And it's going to cost you." So lovingly warn somebody if you see them headed toward a stumbling block. In fact, there's usually a digression as you can see it in people. First, there's anger. They're angry at something somebody said or did to them. And then they're offended. Their anger turns to hurt. I'm hurt over that thing. And then finally, they become bitter over it. Number four, we must be careful to not especially, we must be careful to especially not offend little children. Luke 17:2, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Be careful not to offend spiritual children either, those saved only a few months or years. Be patient with those who are not as mature as you are. Romans 14:21 said, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. 1 Corinthians 8:13, wherefore if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. And there's a line here, I realize that, but I think what Paul is saying, do everything that you can to not offend a younger Christian. And number five, avoid those who deliberately offend others. Avoid them. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. That's all under point one. The next two points will go a little faster. Number two, the immediate forgiveness of offenses. Luke 17, verses 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Mark 11:24-26. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Jesus says this many times. Forgiveness must be given immediately. I mean, if somebody has the opportunity to trespass against you seven times in a day, that means you must be continually forgiving them for it. Forgiveness must be given as often as it's needed. That's the real teaching of the scripture there. Forgiveness must be complete. You don't keep it at arm's length. I know people who they forgive, they say, but when there is another stumbling block that comes along, another hurt, they're quick to pull back the offense that they had forgiven. So they didn't really push it away. They just kept it out here somewhere in case they need to use it at a later point. Don't keep forgiveness at arm's length. Make it complete. And then the scripture says, I don't know how you want to interpret that scripture that I just read, but it seems to me to teach that forgiveness is necessary in order for you to be forgiven. Do we want God's forgiveness? Here's a question. Do we want God to forgive us the same way we forgive others? Do we want God to forgive us the same way we forgive others? And then number three, the increase of faith in relation to offenses. First of all, you cannot forgive in your own strength. You must first learn of God's forgiveness of you. This comes through faith. See, revenge is a trap. Instead, you need faith in God, who is the judge and the avenger. I would like us to memorize four words tonight. They were used by David when people hurt him. And if you read through the Psalms, you see these four words. People would hurt David, but he would say, but as for me. But as for me, I'll do good to them. I'll pray for them. But as for me, when somebody hurts you, somebody does something to you that's cruel, and I know people can be cruel at times. I know there are deep hurts. People do terrible things. But if you could just simply say, but as for me, but as for me, I won't give in, I won't become like them, but as for me, I'll do good. I'll pray for those that despitefully use me. Love my enemies. Bless them that curse me. But as for me. Can we say those four words tonight? But as for me. Again, but as for me. And then don't look at the offense. Look in faith at the coming glory that will come through the offense. Don't look at the offense, but look in faith at the coming glory that will come through the offense. God is working maturity and growth in your life. Look through the offense, and I know this is hard. And you know what? I might go out of here tonight. Somebody might say something to me, and I might be offended. So I'm not there yet, all right? But I'm trying to work on this, and hopefully we can work on it together. I'm trying to teach myself to not look at the offense, but to look through it and to see the glory that will come as a result of me responding properly to that offense. God is working maturity. God is working growth in my life. There's so much more that I could say in these last two points, but I think you get the idea. Act to understand what is happening instead of reacting. Act to understand what is happening instead of reacting with the emotions. It took me a lot of years. In fact, sometimes I still fail in this area, but it took me a lot of years to not react to my wife when she said something. For example, you haven't been home in 2 weeks. You haven't spent an evening with us at home in 2 weeks. You know, I used to react to that, and I used to think, yeah, I was, and I'd rehearse to her. I was home Monday night. I was home Thursday night. You know, what do you mean I wasn't home with you in 2 weeks? And then I realized that I was reacting, and what she was really saying is, even when you're home, you're not home. You know, you're not with us. Your mind is somewhere else. And what she's simply telling me is, I want to spend more time with you. I want you to spend more time with us and the family. I want you to care about us some more. It took me a lot of years to figure that out. Hopefully it didn't take any of you guys that long. But to understand what is happening instead of reacting is the key. And a lot of times when people say things to us, we're offended, we react to it, but we're not trying to understand what they're saying. Then faith comes in relation to God's word. Faith comes in relation to God's word. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. These things have I spoken, my word, that ye should not be offended. People who have a scriptural view of themselves are not as easily offended as by what others say. What comes in relation to God's word? Faith, right? Faith comes in relation to God's word. Great peace have they which love thy law, which love thy word, and nothing shall offend them. Pursue the great peace of those who love God's law, God's word. Peace is the result of focusing on God and his word. That's how it relates to faith. If I could have George and Josh back up here, we're going to end this story tonight. The road overseer and the farmer both had pulled out a gun. One of the men shot his gun. Almost instantaneously, the other man fired his gun. Both guns misfired. This happened 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. Neither gun fired. The men were amazed. All 6 chambers failed to shoot. Both of the men looked at each other. By the way, some other men fired the guns later, and they worked just fine. Nothing wrong with the guns. But both of the men looked at each other. Walt said, I'm sorry. The other man said, "No, I'm sorry." They hugged each other. Witnesses said, "God is here." And so that next Sunday, the farmer and the road overseer went to one of the men's churches. They stood up in front of the church and they told them this story. They told them what happened. People got right in that church. People forgave others of offenses and hurts, and revival broke out in that church. Later that same Sunday morning, they went to the other man's church. They told them this story. They told them what happened. Can you believe it? All six chambers refused to fire. God was there. And they talked about how they got right with each other. And people in this church got right with each other. And they forgave each other for the hurts. They let go of the bitterness that had plagued them. And revival broke out in that church as well. I believe it's one of the keys to revival. Because if you read the book of Acts, you see that the power of God falls when people are in one accord. But there can't be one accord when there's strife and bitterness and unforgiveness. You know, that's the trick of the devil. That's how he stumbled the church. That's how he's entrapped the church. And I would just encourage you tonight that if you have anything against anybody here or in this church, that you forgive them. Let me tell you this. If you have something against somebody and they have absolutely no clue, don't go to them. Just settle it in your own heart. Just make it right with God. That's all you need to do. Make it right with God. But if there's somebody that you've been fighting with and it's tension on both sides, you might want to go to them and make it right. Be the one to apologize. But if they don't know anything about it, don't dump it on them. Just make it right with God. Do you have the opportunity to be offended? Yes, you do. You have that choice to be offended. But what you do with that is the key. Really, your response to this message could determine your future, the rest of your life. Thanks, guys. You can have the blessing of living a life free from offense. It's up to you. It's up to you. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight? I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands at all. I just want you to think over the message tonight. It is impossible to face this life, go through life without facing being offended. Opportunities to be offended and opportunities to forgive. But I want you to understand tonight that this is the enemy's deadly and deceptive trap. Recognize it for what it is. It's a trap. It's not easy. It is probably the most difficult obstacle that you face and that you have to overcome. But if you do, it'll bring revival to your life. And if you're here tonight and you say, "I want to forgive, but I just can't forgive. I just can't get over being offended." Then I think what you should do is pray what the disciples prayed. "Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith." Why do you need more faith? You need more faith to be able to forgive. "Great peace have they which love thy word, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Lord, tonight, you know how you're working in hearts and lives. I pray for those that want to be able to forgive but are having a difficult time with it. Lord, I pray for them that you would give them more faith tonight. to be able to leave the situation in your hands, just like David did. Help them to see how this is hurting them, how it's stumbling them, how it has entrapped them. And tonight I pray for each one to be set free, that there would not be one who leaves here tonight still stumbling or still entrapped. Set each one free. Set our spirit free tonight, Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I pray that you would come and that you would heal those hurts. Lord, that you would help us tonight to have your grace to not only do your will, know your will, but to do it tonight. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'd like to do tonight is open these altars. If you have somebody that has offended you, I just invite you to come to the altar tonight and pray and ask God, Lord, give me the faith that I need that I could overcome this offense, that I would truly be able to forgive them, to put forgiveness way away, not keep it at arm's length, but to put it far from me. Would you come? The Lord's the only one that can. You cannot walk out of here tonight in your own strength and say, I'm just going to forgive that person. I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to forgive them. It won't work. I've tried it. It won't work. You can only forgive as God gives you the grace and faith. And you have to ask him for that. You have to ask him for very few people, I think, ask for God to give them the grace and the faith that they need to be able to forgive. They try to do it themselves. They try to work up their emotions. Emotionally, I forgive. But that doesn't work because soon the negative emotions come back and we find out we haven't really forgiven after all. So would you come tonight? If somebody has offended you, come and spend some time at these altars asking God to help you not be tripped up, not to remain entrapped, not to stay offended, but that you would be able to forgive. Would you come?